America Weekend.
There is a new museum in New York City dedicated to a subject that most Americans profess that they do not like. The subject is math. Yes, there's a museum of mathematics. Here's one of the people behind it to explain how they're making an appeal to large crowds that have been showing up thus far, the Associate Director of the Museum of Mathematics, Cindy Lawrence. Cindy, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks for having me.
When you got together with Glenn Whitney to create this Museum of Math, what was the concept in your minds?
Our concept was to show people a side of math that they didn't conceive of as being math. Most people think of math as doing problems, cookbook recipe type problems, follow the directions, you get the answer, and that's all there is to it. Memorize a bunch of rules and a bunch of facts, and that's what math is. On the other hand, we see math as being a creative endeavor, something where you search out new things that maybe nobody's ever discovered before, or where you explore different ways of looking at the world around you. And that's not a side of math that most people ever see. So when they come to the Museum of Mathematics, that's what we try to show them.
And is the concept to grab kids early so that they get interested and stay interested in math?
You know, most kids at a young age are naturally curious, and they're naturally interested in solving puzzles and problems, and that's a very mathematical way of thinking. But sometime around the middle school years, suddenly it becomes less cool to be the kid who's really good in math or in science. And so we are really targeting that middle school age to show kids that it's cool to be involved with math and to try and keep them engaged through high school and college and beyond.
So I have an 18-year-old daughter, and I find that she loved arithmetic. She loved playing with numbers and being into arithmetic. Well, you know, I was trying to teach her that stuff from an early age to get her on that right path. But I found that once she got into high school in particular, the math curriculum there, taking her in the, you know, through pre-calculus and calculus in her last 2 years there, kind of turned her off towards math, and I was really sorry to see her sour on this subject that had really engaged her for much of the rest of her life. Have you heard that from other parents?
Sure. We've heard this talk of the sort of mythical wall. When did you hit your wall in math? I was good at math until this class or that class. And the problem is that we have very limited time in our schools. So we have a certain track, a certain path that we set people down, and you take this, then this, then this, and if you get to something that maybe doesn't appeal or maybe you didn't quite understand, you figure you're done with math. That's the end of the path for you. But in fact, math is actually a very branching path, and so maybe you take a class that didn't appeal to you or it was taught in a way that didn't quite connect. But there are many other parts of math that you could have gone down a different path and seen something different. And we don't really have the time in our school system to offer those opportunities to stray off this one set path. Here in the museum, we try to show lots of different paths and lots of different areas of mathematics that, frankly, I had never heard of until I got involved with this project. So we do think if we can get kids, and we get a lot of high school students coming as well, and we hope that we can sort of change their attitude about what math is and get them back on the track to being engaged. So maybe your daughter wasn't engaged with calculus, but she might have really found something interesting in group theory or graph theory or any of a number of other areas of math that we try to highlight here in the museum.
All right, so I can imagine an America Weekend listener listening to our conversation and thinking, I'm not going to go to a building and have to do math, and I'm not going to take my kid there and have to have them sit down and do equations. But that's not what your exhibits are about, are they?
Not at all. In fact, the most common question we get from visitors who come here is, wow, this was great. I had so much fun. I loved playing with everything you have here, but how is this math? And so it's our challenge to connect the dots and show people how the fun things that they're doing here, and everything here is hands-on, full-body experiences. There's not a chalkboard, there's not a pencil, there's not a calculator, and there aren't all that many numbers. So everything here is very interactive. We want you to immerse yourselves, to explore, to get involved, to have a good time. And then once you realize that you've had fun with all these things, yes, we can step back and show you how this is, in fact, math that you were playing with. But it is just that. It's play. It's viewing math as an enjoyable, playful, recreational experience. And then once we do that, we'll bring it back and show you how that's mathematics.
This is America Weekend. I'm Paul Harris, talking with Cindy Lawrence, Associate Director of the Museum of Mathematics, a brand new place in New York City. When you bring the kids in, give me an example of what an exhibit is and what do they engage in. What have you found to be your most popular exhibits?
So one of the most popular exhibits is one that actually made its debut with our traveling exhibit, the Math Midway, which travels the country and is in Florida right now. And that is the square-wheeled tricycle. And yes, we have an adult-sized tricycle and a child-sized tricycle, so everyone in the family can hop on and take what turns out to be a very smooth ride on square wheels. People are intrigued and surprised by that. It looks like something that should go absolutely nowhere. But math allows you to calculate the exact track that will mate with the square wheel or with any shape wheel for that matter. And so folks come on and they are engaged. They have a good time riding it. They can't believe the ride is smooth. And then they get to the punchline, which is, we could not have built this without mathematics.
And do you hear from adults, oh, I had such math anxiety, but I had fun just like the kids did?
Absolutely. We hear from adults all the time. In fact, when we meet people who say, I don't like math or I was never any good at math, why should I come to your museum? Those are the folks that we're actually more interested in bringing into the museum. The folks that always love math, they'll come here and they'll have a great time here too. But it's the folks that think they don't like math that we want to bring in. We want to change perceptions about what math is.
Have you had mathematicians come in and challenge any of the exhibits?
We've absolutely had mathematicians come in. In fact, our advisory council is comprised of mathematicians mostly from around the country, but even some from other countries. And we've certainly had mathematicians ask questions about how we're expressing things and make suggestions for improvement. One of the great things about the museum is that we're very cutting edge with our technology. So all of our signs are not static signs. They're all electronic, which means that if somebody does find something that we think, yeah, that is an improvement, we can literally pull out our phones and make a change to the signage on the spot right then and there.
I love that. And that's technology, by the way, that phone, you needed math to make that phone.
Absolutely true.
Is this a first of a kind, or are there other math museums elsewhere in the world that you based yours on?
So this is not the first math museum in this country. There was a very small math museum in Herricks, Long Island, that actually was the impetus for this museum to start. That was a small museum in an old community center that shut down after a time. And the fact that it shut down was the impetus for Glenn Whitney, the museum's founder, to say, hey, let's start up a museum. I wish that hadn't shut down. There's something missing from American culture. However, this is not the only math museum in the world. In fact, Germany has no fewer than 4 math museums within its borders. And there are other math museums in Korea, in Italy, in Spain. They're thinking about building one in Brazil. So we are a nation that did not have a math museum until now, but many other nations have recognized the same need and have built their own math museums.
Well, there certainly has been success with science centers around this country and around the world, and perhaps math can follow along that same path and get kids engaged the same way. I'm very curious about one part of this that doesn't have anything to do with the exhibits, but about the concept of starting up a brand new museum. I'm guessing you had to raise millions of dollars. Talk about math. There are numbers there that when you put them down on paper, you probably thought, how are we going to get that? So how do you raise money for the first New York City Museum of Mathematics?
Well, the interesting thing about that is when we started, we were going to be a 5,000-square-foot museum in a suburb in the Stony Brook community on Long Island. And so we were looking to raise $6 million. That was our goal that we thought would allow us to open a very small museum and operate for 1 year at least without necessarily generating revenue for that first year. And it is solely on the excitement and enthusiasm from folks that we talked to that we ended up moving the project into Manhattan to a major metropolitan area and raising $23 million to start the museum and to ensure that we would have a successful first year of operation and hopefully well beyond 1 year. But we raised enough money to ensure that we could operate for 1 year even if nobody came. The interesting thing is that we estimated and hoped for about 60,000 visitors the first year, and in the first 3 months, we're at about 40,000 visitors.
Now, if only you had an exhibit that would help people calculate how much it costs to get from Midtown to LaGuardia in a cab.
Yeah, well, that's a challenge, isn't it?
That's not a finite number. I know that for a fact. I don't get to New York very often, but when I'm there, I'm going to come check out the Museum of Mathematics. Sounds like a terrific place, and I hope it is successful, as successful as some of these science centers around the country. Cindy Lawrence, Associate Director of the Museum of Mathematics, thanks for joining me today on America Weekend.
Thanks so much for having me, and we look forward to welcoming you when you come visit.
I appreciate that. knuckleheads in the news coming up, plus lots more. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.